Thy place into our hands, the things that have been true. Father, I place into your hands the way that I should go. For I know I always can trust you. Father, we give you all the praise and we thank you. Father, we love to see your face and we love to hear your voice. Father, we love to sing your praise. And in your name, rejoice. Father, we love to walk with you and in your presence rest. For we know we can always trust you. And we thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for your ever-abiding presence. Thank you because your word will have a free course in our midst. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name. Father, I want to be with you and do the things you do. Father, I want to speak the words that you are speaking to. Father, I want to love the ones that your will draw to you. For I know I am one with you. Hallelujah. Amen. I hope you've had a good week. I am looking forward to a better week. Amen. But the desires of your heart must be aligned with the will of God. Hallelujah. And so we see him on a daily basis. And it looks like you are just gliding and sliding to the next phase without any obstructions. Hallelujah. Amen. You know that Sunday that Pastor BJ came and he was ministering and he said somebody had the left side of one pain all the way. It was me, actually. And the thing was that I couldn't lift like a key. You know a key? Like a key for a car. I couldn't pick it on the table like this without pain here. And I will almost drop it. So if I pick it and I do like that. But I didn't tell anybody until the night before that service. I just told my wife that night that this hand, I believe it will go. And then we came to service and it was coming all the way from Abuja. And then he came and he mentioned it. And it was interesting when I was speaking to him after, that actually when he was coming on the way and God was ministering to him, he said he actually saw the person wearing an Ankara. And that day I was preaching on an Ankara. But what is striking was that I needed a miracle. And it came from that word of God came from someone that did not know about it. Hallelujah. And it was that specific. Amen. And in that way, when you see things that way, the trust you have in God just begins to amount and amount and amount. Hallelujah. Because the only person I spoke with was my wife. But before then, I spoke to God. And my wife did not even speak with Pastor BJ. And I rarely speak with him. It takes a long while for me to speak with him. But it just gives you that confidence that this God, he actually focuses on you and on your every need. Amen. Hallelujah. And much more beyond that. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to talk to us this morning about integrity. Integrity. It goes a long way in helping us even as we walk through life. Hallelujah. Amen. Today is the first Sunday of the month. And it's our free will Sunday. It's a rally Sunday. Hallelujah. Just talk and talk and talk and minister. But Romans chapter 1 verse 20 says, For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that we are without excuse. He says, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Hallelujah. And everything that was made by God. He was made when he spoke his word and things began to happen. Hallelujah. And he created man in his image and likeness. So in God's image, so that physiologically we look like him, in his likeness, in character, we look like him. The attributes of God are the same attributes man is meant to have. Amen. Except that your will is mingling with the will of God. Hallelujah. Your will to decide whether you want to go this way or that way is mingling, but we are created in the very likeness of God. Amen. And so if God is with integrity, then man also ought to be with integrity. Hallelujah. Amen. So if I say to you, I'll be coming to see you today, you expect that I will come today. Hallelujah. But if you don't have integrity, I don't think it's right for you to demand integrity from another person. I don't think it's right. You should do unto others as you want them to do unto you. The first responsibility is you doing, amen, before you expect others to do. So if you are not in the place of integrity, you cannot find integrity with you, then you don't have that moral standing to demand integrity from other people. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 138, yeah, Psalm 138 and verse 2. I didn't know this psalm caused a lot of controversy until I was checking through commentaries. It has a lot of controversy, but whatever controversy is, this is how it is written. And this is how we will read it. Abi, we'll read it this way, and then we'll look at it this way. Whatever controversy, man is very intelligent. I know man is very intelligent. They can do all things. But this is how it's written, so we read it. It says, I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, for you have magnified your word above all your name. I won't bother you with the controversy so that you don't get confused. But I mean, if he says God has magnified his word above his all his name, okay, does it mean that his name is lower than his word? No, I don't think so. And there's no need for that controversy. All right, so my word will locate me. Okay, my word will locate me. How you perceive me will depend totally on how you have seen or have taken the words that I speak. Okay, hallelujah, amen. So the way I act, people say people look at your actions, but the way I act, yes, you look at it. But when I speak, it carries a lot of weight, and it defines the person that you look at and say, this is me. Hallelujah. Amen. And don't forget, they say actions speak louder than words. Your actions are meant to be based on your words. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And so if I say that this is God, I can hold God by his word. Hallelujah. So when he speaks, I know that this is God that is speaking. Amen. And so it has to be like that because he is God. Amen. So God will not say a thing that he will not do. Neither will you say something that he has not said. Amen. So he exalts his word above his name. I don't think there should be a controversy. That word, when you have the word of God, you're going to look at it and say, it's God that is speaking. In Titus chapter 1, it says, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Hallelujah. Amen. Which God, so which cannot, who cannot lie, is, where are the teachers in the house? The God that cannot lie is qualifying God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the quality of God. And he says, God, who cannot lie. Amen. Amen. Promised before time began. So God's words are real, they are sure. Amen. And we have been made in his image and likeness. So we ought to be found in a place where our words can be taken for it. Amen. So if you say, for instance, that Mr. Sajeri said this, you can look at that statement and be like, Mr. Sajeri can say it. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. So, for instance, Yeah. And then even people when, I mean, so if you have to do something, you cannot be found wanting. Even when you do things, and people say, ah, Muiwa did this. You're like, ah, no, Muiwa cannot do it too. You understand what I'm saying? Muiwa cannot do it. I think during the course of the week, there was a situation, and the people were talking to my wife and said, are you sure it was not your husband that committed this traffic offense? I mean, the car was ticketed. And I called my wife, I said, this car will be ticketed, you'll pay fine. I said, are you sure it's not, and I told her that it has to do with car papers, okay? And so she went to the people in authority and said, this car has been ticketed, it has to be this particular car paper. And he said, are you sure your driver did not drive and committed a traffic offense? Because what was in it was traffic offense. And he said, no, the driver does not drive that car, my husband drives it. Say, are you sure your husband did not commit a traffic offense? He said, if you wake me while I'm sleeping and you say that Mr. D jumped traffic light, I will go back to bed and say, you don't know what you're saying. He said, I am so sure of what I am saying, it has to be the car papers. And so when they checked and eventually they found the car papers and everybody kept quiet, I'm saying, imagine the shock. If it had been that, they opened that thing and they said, your car jumped traffic light. Number one, it was certain that it's not the driver that was driving. I laughed because even when I looked at the time of the offense, I was busy sleeping at home. So, I mean, but there's no way you can go to and tell the authorities I was sleeping at home. You understand? The time stamp they put there, how will you tell the authorities you were sleeping at home at 6 o'clock or the time, whatever times that they put there? But I'm saying that it pays you to be known for not even something, the right things. Hallelujah. No matter how small you think it may be. I mean, when the argument was going, I said, you see, even if the traffic light is not working, it will not go. That's what she told me, she said, though, that even if the traffic light is not working, it will not go. And is that true? Amen. You have to learn to do the things properly. Because people are out there looking at what you do, what you say, and marrying the two of them together. If you are ambassadors of Christ, hallelujah, that we are, then we should not be found wanting in any area of life, no matter how simple you think it is. Amen. You know, ambassadors. All of us are ambassadors of this country. Abi, you don't believe? We're all ambassadors of this country. So when people see us, they see this country. Abi, you still don't believe me? When you misbehave, they will tell you that that's how Nigerians are. When you do things that are wrong, they will say, he's a Nigerian now. Yeah, we don't expect anything more. It's amazing. I remember in 2003 when we were traveling, we were going to Canada. We were passing through Amsterdam. And three of us, so the company collected the visa for us. I didn't go to any embassy. They just said, Muiwa, you are traveling on so date, get ready. So I submitted my passport, and then the company sent three of us on the journey. So we got to the office. I looked at, I didn't even check whether there was visa in it. They just said, you are going, take your passport, go to Lagos, and enter the plane. So I didn't even check whether there was visa in it or not. I just said that we are traveling. So we got to the airport, we went, and then we go to Amsterdam. And that was the time when Nigeria was in a serious problem. Military rule, everything, nobody was trusting anybody. You show the green passport, they will look at it, they will turn it, bend it. And I never experienced that before, you know. I never experienced that before. So we got to Amsterdam and we're in the tube. And one of my colleagues, because we were traveling for the first time in our life, all of us, on the plane, they will bring food, Abi. So they brought broccoli, everything. I don't know how to eat these things. I didn't see bread. I didn't see bread. I didn't see cake. You know, those things that at least they say is Oyinbo food, that you can identify it. So they brought broccoli, they brought all those things. I cannot eat this thing. So I picked, I tried the cheese. I can't eat it. So the guy next to me, he finished his own tray. Hallelujah. And then he looked at me. Oh, the journey. I said, I can't eat it. He said, okay. I pushed it to him. He ate it. The third guy, too. The guy was like, he picked whatever he could pick. And then he goes, what's wrong with you guys? Can't you eat this? So yet for the three of us. So when we came out of the plane inside the tube, we were about to, when they said the plane is descending, in fact, in mid-air. That's why you should be careful. Don't be greedy. And don't be a glutton. In mid-air, the guy took red wine. The small bottle, he took red wine. I was laughing. I said, this man, voila, we have him. He took red wine. In like 30 minutes, in mid-air, he called the hostess. Say he cannot breathe. He's short of air. I'll tell you about ambassadors. Ambassadors of where you come from. Say, cannot breathe. He's short of air. The hostess did not understand because it's Oyinbo now. She didn't understand what you're saying. He wasn't saying it. I mean, he said, eh. So I told the hostess, I said, the guy is out of air. So, but it was because of the wine he took. He took too much. So he was beginning to, his eye was turning and all that. So the hostess, they were at a loss. The child kept him. They were finding him and everything. He came okay. So when they say we are landing, you know, when you're landing, everybody goes, oh, you make sure you go and ease yourself, everything. This man didn't get up. As the plane touched ground and everybody was on the queue to get out of the plane, he now tapped me. I had all our passports because I was the team lead. I had all our passports, tapped me. He said, Muiwa, I want to go and use the restroom. I said, there's trouble. We are supposed to look at this. We are just three or four people away from immigration. The guy ran back into the plane. So myself and the other guy, because his passport was with us, we had to stand aside and wait. Meanwhile, the immigration people were looking at us. So we waited for him. So when he came, I gave him his passport, and then we went. Because the two of us stood aside, as he showed them passport like this, he just told us that we should wait. Him that went inside and came, they looked and they passed him. I said, hey, I'm not doing any nonsense team lead again. We waited 1 hour. They were scrutinizing our passports because it was green. And then we looked like we were trying to dodge. To them, it looked like we were trying to dodge because we were waiting. So 1 hour, they kept us in their scrutiny room. I was just laughing. Say, it's not, you know, hard now. We're never far from Nigeria. Just send us back home. It's not my money. It's not my mama's money. Just send us back home. So after 1 hour, they released us. When they released us, I just gave each one of them his passport. I said, Oga, if you like, eat the whole plane. Take, this is your passport. When we get to the next stop, if you like, run back and forth. When we get to where we are going, I'll tell them that we left you at the airport. But as ambassadors, you're ambassadors of your family. Now, the image that they have about wherever you are coming from is that image that they will deal with you. I remember the other time, too, I was going to the United States, and I stopped at New York. I was feeling funky. I wore Timberland and a pair of jeans, stonewash jeans. And then I wore those big T-shirts. And I looked like Mr. That man in A-Team. I just didn't put chain. So I had the Timberland and everything. And I carried my bag. And I came out of the immigration. And I was bouncing. I was going. And I was feeling cool. I heard the guy said, sir, can you mind? We want to. I said, what are you saying? He said, please, we don't mind. We want to search you. We have reasons to believe that there's something wrong. I was just laughing. In my bag, there was Gary from my mama. And so I thought maybe I was still feeling cool with my Timberland and everything. Ah, but that's the outlook. And it was just not, it just looked to them that this resembles those guys that are out of place. They were not even around then. So they took me to that very fine room. Beautiful, but he had cuffs on the floor. He had cuffs on the floor like that, boom, boom. But I wasn't scared. So when they took me to the room, I was just laughing. I said, last, you go back home, last. I took him to, and then the guy came, and then he read, he said, we are representatives of the United States of America. We are under the authority of the President of the United States of America. I said, I understand. I said, so we have reasons to believe that you have substances on you, blah, blah, blah. I said, you are free to carry out all your responsibilities. I am here. So he said, take off your shoe. Ah, my Timberland. You don't know Timberland. The ankle is up to here. Ah. So I took off this Timberland. And I sat down. And the bench was golden brown. Like those gold things that the Bible describes. Golden brown. So I sat on the bench. And two of them, hefty men. They were taller than Uche. and as big as I don't even know how to describe it, like bouncers. So they, number one, they were going to intimidate me, but me, I had nothing to hide. So they took off my, I took off my Timberland there. They bent it. Ah, I said, ah, this thing cost $100. Oh. I didn't tell them. I was like, ah, me, sir, I didn't dare to bend this shoe. They bent it. Ah. After a while, they said, what are you going to say? I said, someone is waiting for me outside. This is the phone number, blah, blah, blah. They called the guy's number. The guy didn't ring. The phone didn't ring. Ah. Huh. And then they went again, and then they came back. I said, okay, sorry that we delayed you. You may go, and you're fine, blah, blah, blah. The person I was going to see, I'd not seen before. It's just someone that connected me. I said, this person will pick you up at the airport. I said, oh, God, this, I will not make this mistake in my life again. So imagine that they called that, and if he was an unscrupulous person, and they called him, or he had something to hide in that country, they would tie the two of us together. So when I got out of the arrival area, I went to the phone booth. I put coin. I pressed the number. The phone rang. I said, where are you? He says, outside. I said, thank God. God must have known that there's something with this man. Because they bent my Timberland. They start, but they did not see my, they didn't see my gari. They just gave me back. They say, they have seen it before. They know they've seen it before. They know, so they know that when you are coming from this part of the world, you carry this one. The other time when I was going to carry Canada, I took the gari and I took NODD as well. You don't know NODD? Fried meat. I took everything. And I survived on that gari and that fried meat in Canada for 30 days. Because I could not eat the food they were giving me. I'm that bush. But that's ambassadors. There are certain things that they expect of you as an ambassador. And so if you're a good ambassador of where you're coming from, so if you're the kind of ambassador that they think that they are looking for, the bad one, they have everything for that passport. But thank God that it's different now. Amen. Look at what the Bible says. Because some people say, my conscience is clear. It has nothing to do with Hebrews chapter 13. They say, my conscience is clear. I don't need to prove to anybody. I don't care. I don't need to prove anything to anybody. You need to have your conscience clear with God, and it also be clear with men. Because when men look on the outside, what they see, we perceive a lot. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13 from verse 15. It says, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. Hallelujah. Amen. We have a good conscience in all things. Hallelujah. In all things, a good conscience. So today you are not doing, your day you are following the right thing, tomorrow you are not following, it's not supposed to be. It has to be consistent. That's integrity. Your words and your action. Amen. Hallelujah. In Proverbs 11 verse 3, it says, the integrity of the upright will guide him, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy him. Hallelujah. If you read the Amplified Version of Proverbs 3, Proverbs 11, 3, it says, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the willful contrariness and crookedness of the treacherous shall destroy them. The crookedness of the treacherous shall destroy them. Hallelujah. So if you don't want to be destroyed, then you live upright. Oftentimes, what happens is that we want to get away with something, and then you need to bend the rules, you need to bend around it, and you think that by bending the rules or bending around it is the right way to go. Look at what 2 Corinthians 8 and 21 says. Because people say, I don't care. I have a clear conscience. And then you misbehave. You say, I know. So I was shocked some weeks back. So they had this set of believers that somebody harassed one of them, and all the set of believers beat that person black and blue till blood was coming out. So I came out of the house, and when I saw the person that they beat, and they were trying to explain to me why they beat him, and I told them I don't want to listen to why they beat him. Because you have done something that is wrong. I didn't even know that they were all believers until they started saying, this one is in choir, this one is a head of protocol, blah, 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 blah. And then you beat somebody black and blue, you're opening your mouth. And then he was bleeding from the nose. I mean, if he has done something wrong, do the right thing. Get the authorities. I mean, whatever it is, they are the chief security officer. They could have called their chief security officer and said, we have represented this person. Please take hold of him. He has done this. But they beat him. And now they could not find the person that gave that blow, that brought out blood. And I was laughing. If this guy had died here, all of you, none of you would have gone, it's scot-free. You would have gone to call your pastor, everybody, and then we start talking. And then you not tell me where it is written in the Bible that because somebody harassed one of you, you should beat that person till he's going to die. Amen. Hallelujah. So oftentimes we are very zealous. You say, maybe Peter caught somebody's ear. Abby, you say he caught somebody's ear when they want to carry Jesus. But you know, remember that Jesus quickly fixed back that ear so that there won't be any other issue because it was wrong. So I said 2 Corinthians. Oh. My tab has given up. 2 Corinthians 8:21. It says, for we take thought beforehand and him to be honest and absolutely above suspicion, not only in the sight of God, but also in the sight of men. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, I read the Amplified Classic, please. Providing honorable things. So the Amplified Classic breaks down these honorable things. Can you give us Amplified Classic? He says, for we take thought beforehand and aim to be honest and absolutely above suspicion, not only in the sight of God, but also in the sight of men. Amen. Suspicion. Why would there be suspicion? That's because they cannot place you. They cannot place you. There are some arguments you don't get into. Once you see the people in the argument, you know that there's no need for this argument. It cannot be. You just know that it cannot be. And that's why oftentimes we are very careful. You don't go into a place and let people use your status or your integrity and let them take advantage of it. Because some people, you know, they say, you know me now. And that's when you sign guarantors form, guarantee form, there are problems. The person you know today, you do not know tomorrow. So if you have not seen that person in 6 months, do you know what he has been doing in 6 months? He says, but without suspicion. He says, because he has to be not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. You need to say things the way they are, and you need to do things to do the things that you say. That's the God that we follow. And that's the only reason why we all follow God. Because we know that he is faithful and he's true to his word. Hallelujah. But you cannot be found wanting. Amen. Hallelujah. In 1 Peter. So people do a lot of funny things because they want to get away with it. They want to beat the system. When people lie, you want to avoid punishment. See what the Bible says. 1 Peter 3. And from verse 16, the NKJV, please. Having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. He says, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. Amen. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Amen. Hallelujah. So you ought to place yourself in a position where your conscience is clear to God, number one. And then some people term evildoers because you are doing what God has asked you to do. Then never be found wanting. Never be found wanting. Never be in a position whereby it's because you are trying to, take bends, go the short route, okay, and then you begin to lie, or you begin to do things that you ought not to be doing. It goes a long way. Everybody takes a look at the background where you're coming from, and if they cannot marry it, they begin to query that background. Amen. And we are ambassadors of Christ. We have to live our life solely worthy of him. Amen. Everything around us, everything around us may not be speaking well, but within us, it has to speak. Amen. And you have to speak what is within you, not what is around you. So sometimes people conform to the environment and say, because things have been done like this, then let us do it like that. Amen. Hallelujah. And you say it's difficult, but as much as it lies in your power, amen, do it. Hallelujah. Amen. In Proverbs, in Psalms, the book of Psalms, Psalm 41. You know, this thing of knowing what somebody can do is very interesting. When I was in secondary school, we were preparing for WAEC. So we had mock exams to write. But on the other side, because we knew it was mock exam, we're like, what's all this mock? These people are just disturbing us. So a clique of us, we had planned table soccer competition. You know table soccer? So we had planned table soccer competition. We had a league table. We had group A, group B, group C, group D, like football competition, 4-4 teams. And everybody had his own table soccer team and his counter and his goalkeeper, everything. It cost me a lot of money to build that team. Because I built my team out of Smarties. You know Smarties? You don't know Smarties? So when you buy Smarties in those days, it's not in nylon that we buy these days. It's always in like a box-like thing. And then he has a plastic cap. That plastic cap, they come in different colors, yellow, green, blue. So we buy Smarties. I bought Smarties and built a team of 11 players. So it must have cost me money to build that team. So we took it to school. I said, once you finish, the first paper, they say it's 2 hours mock exam. All of us say, guys, 1 hour, we finish, we get out. So we planned it. So all of us got up. After 1 hour, we all got up. And then, of course, the remaining that were not part of it, they were there writing the exam. So we went and then we were playing. That's how the school authorities came, blah, 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 blah. And then started running up and down. And then, so that they won't see our tabletops, we scattered everything into the bush so that we come back and pick it. And then we went to hide. Amen. We went to hide. So I hid behind the tank. Don't try it, though. I hid behind the tank. And then I thought all the authorities had gone, the principal, vice principal. And so when I felt the coast was clear, I stepped out. And then I said, Drew, would you follow me? So I went with her. And then I got to the and I got into her office. Unfortunately, my mother drove into the school. She came to sign my WAEC form. She drove into the school. And I was in the principal's office. They caught me with the table soccer. I said, what? I looked at it. I said, and my mother does not take this kind of things lightly. I said, hi, trouble. So she went in, and then the man said she wants to say, and it was the principal that caused the response. So she said, why are you wasting your time on this boy? Why are you coming to sign his form? He's just busy playing table soccer, blah, blah, blah. My mother said she was shocked. But because of the fact that she said she was wasting her time, my mother said, he's a boy. So you don't expect anything less from boys. They will play. So, you know, they had their own, you know, it's ego and ego. And then, you know, I got home. That is the boy who taught something else. What I'm saying, and of course, she knows that it's something I can do. All my life from primary 1 to primary 6, I will come home. Maybe I could have done better, but it's too playful. So she has been used to that playfulness. But I'm saying that when people know you for who you are, they cannot be bothered when they hear something else. If they told my mom that Muiwa is the most studious person in school, she would have been shocked. I'm not kidding. She would have been shocked that no, he does not. The one I know at home, he does not read like that too. So imagine the day I decided to read and study, and when she saw my exam results, she was in shock. That is same Muiwa got these things. So the image you create for yourself is dependent on the things you say and the things you do. People know you for what you do. And people know you for what you say. You say something, you don't do it, they know you. You do things that you say you won't do, they will know you. But the Bible is saying there in Psalm 41, verse 11, that by this I know that you are well pleased with me, because my enemy does not triumph over me. As for me, you uphold me in my integrity and set me before your face forever. Hallelujah. Amen. That integrity, being known for the right things, is very important. It's important to God, and that's the only thing why we cannot cling to God. That's the only thing, reason why we cannot go to God in prayer and say, God, you will do this because your word says you will do it. If we think we cannot take his word to the market, we have no business with him. Hallelujah. So don't let it all be God has to do it. Amen. Or maybe I'm a Christian. No. People are not bothered about the fact that you're a Christian. Hallelujah. People are bothered about the fruit you are bearing as a Christian. Hallelujah. You need to bear the right fruits. Be the right ambassadors. The good ones. Amen. So that when they catch you, they will say, if it's a Nigerian, no. When they say you, they'll be like, there must be something wrong. And then if the Bible says, even if you are being crucified for that, let it be for the right things, for the God kind of. If they are not pleased with God, they cannot be pleased with you. But if they are not pleased with God, okay, you don't have to do the wrong thing so that they can be pleased with you. Because your conscience and your responsibility is first to God before man. Hallelujah. And so as we continue in this year, okay, as we continue to walk towards our aim, towards all that we hope for, Proverbs chapter 4, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Amen. Keep your heart with diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you fill your heart with too many wrong things, that's the issues of life. Whatever is coming out, it is dictating. They say the art of the matter is the matter of the art. So the main thing is a matter of the art. And that's why I say, fill your heart with diligence. Out of it flows the issues of life. He says, put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Amen. Let you should be found only where there are good things. Hallelujah. Remove your fruit away from evil. We found only where things that are good are happening. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not answering now. He says, do not... we should go home. Okay, don't worry. We'll go home now. He says, do not turn to the right or to the left. So that means don't waver. You have to be consistent in that line. Turning to the right or to the left will amount to taking corners. Okay? But you have to be consistent and you have to do what that is right. But most important thing is that in the integrity of your heart, speak the right things and do the right things. Let's rise on our feet. Let's talk to God this morning. Aim to be honest and absolutely above suspicion, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Amen. For we know that God looks at the heart, but we also must have it that men look on the outside. And in order not to jeopardize your ministry, take care of both. Take care of what God looks at and take care of what men look at. Hallelujah. I don't care what people say. God sees my heart. It's not the right thing. Amen. What people see also matters. But the truth is that what you do, you cannot be tall on the inside, or you cannot have ideas on the inside, and you cannot display them on the outside. When you are tall on the inside, you will see it on the outside. Amen. So let's just talk to God. Thank him that indeed, last we are his creation, and his individual attributes will be clearly seen through us. If he cannot lie, then he will give us that grace. just as he has sealed us with the Holy Spirit of righteousness, that indeed we'll be able to walk in that line, being full of integrity, that we can take our words for it, just like we know that we can take the word of the Lord for it. We thank him, we give you praise, Lord. We magnify your name. We'll take the communion this morning. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." He says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Hallelujah. Amen. So even as we take this morning, remember the work that was done on the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood and his body was broken. It says, "By the stripes you are healed." His body was broken. He shed his blood for the remittance of our sins. And as we do it, he said, "Remember." So we begin to call to remembrance the things that he did. And that's where the power lies. Because he came and he broke every yoke. Hallelujah. He came and he tore that divide between God and man. So we have free access to him. If we do not remember those things, and on what basis are we relating with him? And so this morning, as we take the communion, let's just talk to him in our words, that indeed we appreciate that we are done, and then we repent. Indeed we repent. No longer do we diminish the things that he has done, but we amplify it so that he is constantly before us, with full understanding. He says, "For as you drink this bread, eat this bread and drink, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." And his death is our victory. Hallelujah. Lord, we give you praise and we consecrate these elements. And even as we command it, obey your word. And as we do this morning, let your power flow within and without in Jesus' name. We give you all the praise, Father. This is a remembrance of every element of the work that he did on the cross.